If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
That's me, Ben. I'm here. I made it back to the pop.
Hey, it's so great to see you. So great to see you. Yep. Jay, did you know that I only know 25 letters of the alphabet?
You only know 25 letters of the alphabet?
Yeah, I just don't know why.
You know what? That's crazy because My friend Tony told me not to say his name backwards.
Why not?
Exactly.
Oh, we're off to a rip-roaring start.
Oh yeah, how about that? Y'all want some corny jokes up in here?
It was time to bring them back. It's time to bring them back.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jay, I have a question for you right
away. Yeah, okay,
fire away. I'm curious about an experience that you've recently had, which is that just this past weekend, you sent us one of the most lovely photos of you and young Lukester in front of our childhood home.
Yes, I did. So, this past weekend was a really cool experience. So Luke is playing lacrosse right now, and he had a couple of games this weekend down in Franklin County, where we grew up. You know, it was
the homeland.
The homeland. I know. So it was, you know, it's at Wade Park, and I'm like, oh my God, I remember playing soccer games at Wade Park, you know?
I had the exact same thought. Like when you told me that like he was playing a game at Wade Park, I'm like, I can't believe they're still using it.
Right.
You know? But then at the same rate, it's like, where else would it go?
Exactly. Like, yeah. There was like Wade Park and then there was like the rec park. And you know, those are basically the options.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not only are they still using it, it is like upgraded and more bustling than ever.
How about that? Good. Yeah. I mean, and I've known, you know, because like we actively, like with our coffee brand, have a blend called the Nimbus blend,
which is actually the best blend.
It is my favorite. Yes. Yeah. But that in particular, 100% of the proceeds go directly to local trail building efforts. So
yes.
We haven't specifically contributed to the Wade Park build out. However, I have been, because we're like in those conversations with those people, I have been like very aware that they have like a whole new environment. And it's like, what?
I'd be so curious to check it out, because once upon a time, me and our former neighbor, Steven, signed up to do a mountain bike race there. And okay. this was before I knew just even the anything about mountain biking. You know, to me, like mountain biking at that point was like, yeah, we've been camping a few times and I've ridden my bike through the woods some.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm well acquainted with.
I got it.
Like woods and bikes like, and wheels. What and
kind
stuff?
Of what kind of bike do you have? A mountain bike, you know, it's got treads on the tires. It's not a road bike. I'll tell you that. Those are the two kinds.
Right. Exactly. I know so much about bikes.
I know things about bikes and I've watched the Tour de France and there's a bike race and I have a bike that I could do it in. So I'm doing a bike race.
This is classic Dunning-Kruger, you know, yes. where it's like, you know, just enough, like you probably know more like at that point in time than just like, if you were to like walk up and do like a man on the street type of interview type situation,
yeah.
you know, it's like, what can you tell me about these two bikes? And you know, like if you held out two bikes for people to like comment on,
right.
So you knew enough to know. And like, even growing up with our parents, both being like cyclists in some capacity,
right.
Like yeah, we're exposed to it. Yeah. I could go do a bike race.
I could go do a mountain bike race. Of course. No big deal. And we got to that race and I mean, they like, you know, shot off the gun or whatever. And I remember Steven immediately just shot off like a bullet up the hill. And I was like, whoa, he's fast.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
okay.
you know, we've been riding around the neighborhood together and it seems like we're of about the same ability, but within about 3 seconds, it was like, nope, we're not.
Yeah.
Nope,
yeah.
I will say I finished the race. So there was that. Which was good. It wasn't like too difficult for me to overcome anything.
Okay, so you guys were not on a team. You were just both competing.
We were just both competing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
okay,
finished the race. No big, you know. But I do remember there was one where you came up to the top of this hill and like there's like the first few people had like stirred up like a nest of yellow jackets, and basically every single person who was coming through was getting stung.
Oh.
And so you're like, I'm in the middle of this race and suddenly like I get stung like in, I think it was two spots, but one was like on my front left thigh and one was on my, like my right butt cheek. And I mean, it hurt so bad. You know,
people will use, you know, I don't know, like various pain points and they're like, that's like a bee sting. And it's like, so it hurts a lot.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Like, so stay away is what you're saying. Yeah.
Now, like to this day, like I remember there was like one day, like when we got home from like a vacation and our dad walked out on the back porch and like, I guess just his footsteps disrupted a bee's nest that had like manifested in the past week since we'd been gone, came up through the floorboards and just stung him like 17 times. And it's one of those things, like when I think back about it, I'm like, whenever I get stung by a bee like once, it's basically all I'm going to talk about for like the next 2 days because of like the throbbing
it's
pain
terrible.
And the swelling or whatever. It's like, I'm like, if I got stung 17 times, like I'm dead.
That's it. I couldn't survive it.
Yeah. Yeah. I am officially deceased.
Yeah. Not only that, so I got stung on the trail. God, I just forgot about this until this exact point. When we were in the parking lot and I was putting my jersey on, I caught a wasp in the jersey as I was putting it on and it bit me on the back twice.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I remember thinking like, that was so terrible. So I forgot about that. And like, until this day, I had never been stung by a bee.
No, never.
Never. And this was the first time. And I got wasps and yellow jackets in the same day.
Man, you must have had some tripped out dreams that night.
I bet I did.
Every single time I get stung by a bee, I have the weirdest fever dreams ever. It's like you get stuck inside of a cyclone of never ending mazes to
right.
solve.
And it's like a tracker jacker.
Yeah, you know? It is like a tracker jacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it completely. Okay, so anyway, you make it back to Wade Park. Luke had his games, his lacrosse adventures.
Yes, it was. It went well. There was some confusion with the games. We were supposed to be there. Like we were told we're gonna be there at 10. There were the first games at 10, second games at noon. We're like, okay, got it. So we're like, you know, in the car at like 9, we're driving down and they're like, oh man, we just got here. And it turns out they didn't tell us they updated the schedule. You're supposed to be here at 9. And we're like, what? But like everyone on the team is in this boat.
Right.
So, you know, we get there and I guess other people had like enough big brothers that they were there earlier for a different game that they were able to like
field a game,
but we get there for like the last 10 minutes and then they're like, okay, so we're still going to play the other game, which is still at noon. But instead of having a 1 hour break after a game, now you've got a 2 hour break after barely a game. And it's like, cool. Glad we... Cool. Yeah. That's what we wanted to hear.
Is basically Luke didn't get to play now and also we have to wait longer.
Yeah. That's what we had. That was the situation. And then thankfully though, at like 11 o'clock, they're like, all right, well, apparently another team that like whoever was scheduling just was not having a good day, but they were like, another team had like a similar problem and they didn't have enough people. They're like, okay, why don't we'll just play you guys instead. And it was like, okay, great. So now we're going to play at 11, and at 12. Cool. So we'll get the two games we intended, and basically the wait is over. Hooray.
Yes.
We do that, play the game. It's pretty good. Ended up losing. Their goalie was phenomenal, despite being like the smallest kid on the field. Couldn't believe it.
Do you ever wonder, like, when you're witnessing something like that? Like, I mean, it's difficult with lacrosse, where it's like, I'm not sure if I could tell you the most famous lacrosse player.
Nope.
Like, it doesn't mean that people in the LAX world wouldn't know that person's name. Like, prior to Formula One, I probably couldn't have named like Lewis Hamilton, who is right. like the 7-time, you know, Drivers' Cup winner or whatever.
Right. It feels like that's like eking out into general knowledge. Like, you might not need to follow Formula One, but you probably just need to know the names Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, Lewis Hamilton, I believe at the moment, is dating Kim Kardashian. So
Right. It
would not surprise me if we start to know his name even more.
Right.
But the point I'm just trying to make is that it's not, I don't mean to like dismiss lacrosse as a sport, but I couldn't name the most famous lacrosse player. But it is interesting with rec sports to like, you know, you're out there and inevitably in any game and probably any team I've ever been on, there has been a standout, like somebody who is just leagues better than everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, like worst case scenario, pass the ball to Jeff and he'll score.
Right.
And, you know, it's like it makes you wonder, like, you know, if you were growing up in North Carolina in, I don't know, the early 80s or whatever, like, could you have witnessed Michael Jordan playing basketball in rec league basketball or something like
that? Could you, would you have been like, man, that kid?
Yes, that kid
really gets it.
That kid really gets it. Yeah, like it would be so interesting. You know, like if you met somebody while they were still just like a budding whoever,
right?
You know, and then like way on down the line, it's like I knew them then.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe
this kid will go on to be like the goalie.
He'll be like the goalie. Yeah. Who was our soccer goalie? Like Tim?
Tim Howard?
Tim Howard. Yeah.
Yeah. The brick wall.
I mean, it's so weird too, because a lot of times I'm like, some people are like, oh yeah, the goalie. It's like, yeah, they're like so good. And it's like, I was like, it's great if the goalie's good, but like, you know, for the goalie to be good, it means they have to make a lot of saves. And for them to make a lot of saves, that means the other team's taking a lot of shots. So yeah, it's like
the defense is bad.
The defense is bad is what I'm hearing, you know?
Right.
But it's like, but then you see games like this and it's just like our team had way more shots, like just so many more shots on goal. Uh-huh. And the problem was the keeper, for sure.
Like he was that good.
He was that good. Which, I mean, it was just like, not that I've seen more than three people play lacrosse goalie, but it was clear. Like I remember like, one of our other teammates, like his dad was sitting down, his name was William, and he's like, how we doing? And I'm like, pretty good. Their goalie's awesome. And he was like, that kid. And as he's pointing at him, he just goes like, whoosh, and like catches the ball. And it was like, he was like, oh, whoa. Yeah, he is. I was like, I'm not like crazy, right? You know? And then sure enough, it proved me. I was like, yeah, okay, impressive. Short king, you know, go off, be a great lacrosse goalie.
Witnessing history, Jay.
Exactly.
Unfold before.
Maybe
your
that'll be
lies.
It. If you know a great lacrosse goalie from Lexington, Virginia, at some point, you'll know that you heard about him here first.
Right.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. Jay's an up and coming lacrosse scout.
That's right. It's my future career, having never played it and seen three games.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Call me up to the big leagues. But so because it was in Franklin County, we had to drive through the town that like we grew up in or like lived in until like 2001. I was able to like, you know, divert the route a little bit to be like, oh, let's drive past the house we used to live in so like Luke could see it or whatever.
Yeah.
And just so I could see it, be like, okay, ooh, how's it looking these days?
I mean, it's always so interesting to have this place that like, it's weird now that someone else owns it.
I know.
You know, and it's sort of just like, there's a piece of me, like when you sent me the picture that was like, I should still be allowed inside.
I know. And like, I'm like, I can former, like go in.
Yeah. Right? It's like former resident, you know, or like, yeah. like, you know, if like you'd pulled into the driveway and they came out and they're like, what are you doing here? It'd be like, no, it's fine. I used to live here.
It's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, obviously this is not the case, but like in my head, there's a piece of me that believes this should still be okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and if you explain it to them in my head as well, they'd be like, oh, of course.
Right.
Would you like a tour inside? Would you like to go see everything? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, sure. Of course, if you're offering, you know, I mean,
right, yeah.
What's so weird is that house in particular is still the house that I have lived in longer than any other dwelling.
Dude, yes, I know. And the only reason that this particular stat stands out to me is that when I bought my current house, it was like just only ever meant to be like a starter home.
Right.
But then it occurred to me like last month that I have now lived there for 10 years.
Wow.
Which means that I am getting like dangerously close usurping our childhood, like the first home that we grew up from, basically like birth through age 11 for me.
So right.
I would have been 11 turning 12 when we moved.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's like, whoa, okay. Like if I make it like another year and a half, I will have officially lived in my own home longer than any other home.
Yeah, I know. That is wild. That still won't be true for me for a bit.
Yeah, you'll have. Oh yeah, because I
moved.
And yeah. You lived longer than me.
Yes, yes. So I have 13 years to cover to beat the record. As it were.
A new record.
And we moved into our current house in like 2019. So, you know, we're only 7 years in.
Yeah. Come 2032 though.
Come 2032. That's going to be a day.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That will be, that'll be crazy. But what's even weirder than that is even though that is the dwelling I've lived in the longest, the people who own it now have lived there longer than me.
Oh, wait. Oh, wow.
Right.
Weird.
Yeah.
Like, well, so do we know if the people who bought it, like, from...
I mean, I guess I've assumed that only one other family has bought it.
I guess we could probably look into that.
Well, I guess we could to see if there's, like, a report. But if it's just the people who bought it from us and they have remained there since, they have lived there longer than we did.
Oh, upsetting.
Upsetting.
It's supposed to be... We were there first.
Like, hey. We were there. I know, right? Crazy.
Not like mom and dad built the house.
Not like they built it. Yeah, they bought it from other families.
So. Yeah, but this is also crazy. So like Alice has purchased a home as well. That is her own like childhood home that her parents did in fact build.
Sorry about that. Motorcycle.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that her parents did in fact build in the 90s. It has been owned by two other parties and then Alice purchased it back.
Wow.
So it's that's like a cool one where it's like, oh, full circle
back.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. It's like, so part of me would be like, if we went in there, could we find our own marks? You know?
Oh,
like have we left marks? Are there, do marks from us remain? You know?
I know. Yeah. Like we were talking about like, you know, you sent the picture or whatever. And the first thing that popped into my mind was like, are there still smoke ball stains on the front walkway?
Because right,
we went through like a total fireworks phase as a kid, but not big ones that shoot into the air, but like the little, you know, ground fountains and smoke balls or like the little like snakes that you light on fire that sort of like billow out into like a little curly cue type situation.
Yeah. Things that you would be allowed to have in like a regular like suburban neighborhood setting.
Yeah.
It's not really a suburb at all. That's the wrong word, but
yeah, it's like, it is weird to describe because I feel like we grew up in a very like rural location, but like the city portion of it.
Yeah.
But it still didn't feel city-like.
Not at all. I mean, within a 10th of a mile from downtown Rocky Mount, you know, we could walk there.
Yes.
No problem. Downtown Rocky Mount, and Rocky Mount being the center of Franklin County, which is massive, is the like one street, you know.
Yes, yes. There is a farmer's market, a post office, and used to be two hardware stores. Now just one hardware store, and the other one has become like a performance center that none other than Jay Leno is coming to like next week.
Next is it? Yeah, it is. Is it next? Is May 6th?
May 6th. Okay, May 6th.
But I'll tell you what, I bought tickets.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
It's like, I could not, I was like, Jay Leno is coming to Rocky Mountain.
I know.
Virginia.
That's what I was like. Like, there's no way. I was like, why?
On some level, I feel like this is making it sound like, okay, you guys are overstating the small town nature that you grew up in. It's like, we're not. It's really weird that he's going there.
I know. I'm like, I saw him in the window. I was like, Jay Leno, like, are you seriously? That's like the same as like Jimmy Fallon coming here.
Right.
Or like
right.
Seth Meyer coming. Like if one of the current late night hosts was coming to Rocky Mount, I wouldn't have even blinked.
It would be like, you know?
I'm absolutely going to go see them. You know? And I was like, this is pretty much the same thing. You know? Like, oh, yeah. What? Okay.
I'll be there.
I guess. I haven't met, everyone I know has been to this venue as well. And I have not been. And I'm like, okay, now I'll get an experience there.
Now you get an experience. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you can go up and be like, hey, fellow Jay.
Yeah.
Fellow Jay. Spelled differently.
J. We're the same, you and me.
We're the same.
We're the same.
It's like, do you have any like ins? Could you get me like hooked up with like a late night host gig?
I hear there's an opening on CBS.
Yeah.
For very, very dumb reasons.
Yes. Yes. Oh man. Okay. Yeah, you can just like sneak your way in there. I think the window's open, Jay.
The window's open. Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't have good seats at all. I will say this though, Ben, I'll tell you where I do have good seats. I might not have been able to get good seats to see Jay Leno in Rocky Mount, but I have got pretty darn good seats to go see Lisa in Vegas.
Ah, that's so cool.
Yeah. I was like, I am pretty excited about it.
This is a member of Blackpink.
This is a member of Blackpink. Lisa, if you watched like season 3 of White Lotus, she played Mook. And
like K-pop Demon Hunter is at least loosely based on Blackpink.
Yeah, Huntrix, yeah. Loosely based on Blackpink. Yeah. Of course, Huntrix is becoming their own, you know, band at this point.
Right, right. But yeah, they couldn't have been based on Huntrix before Huntrix became like a spinoff of K-pop Demon Hunter.
So. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm very excited to go see Lisa, her like solo concert in Vegas, which is one, it is all, not just her first residency in Vegas, which is like 4 nights, but it is the first K-pop residency ever in Vegas.
That is very
which is crazy.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about it because like I don't feel like I've liked, you know, different genres of music and like, you know, been fans of different artists and stuff. But I don't think I've ever been like so dialed in on like, this is my favorite band. Like I've never had a good answer to that question. And now I do.
Yeah. It's like, what's your favorite band? Blackpink.
It's like Blackpink. That's yeah. It. That's it. You know? And it's like, it's, you know, what month is it? April.
Yes.
You know, I feel like I've sort of been listening since like the beginning of the year, like, you know, really intentionally. And it's like, it hasn't gone away at all.
Right.
You know, I was like, that's still just what I'm turning on when I get in the car.
Well, I remember when you were talking about like the Spotify account problem and you were like, oh my gosh, well, the problem is that like, you know, I log into it and then all of a sudden, like, you know, my music's playing in Beth's car or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's like messaging me being like, are you listening to K-pop? And
yeah,
like, well, just a little bit.
I mean, I'm just seeing.
I was just toying around with it.
Yeah. And then I had to get my own account so I wouldn't keep interrupting, you know?
Well, what's been really fun was that when we were out on the last tour, you took DJ position for a minute and you played us a good selection of your favorite songs from like their solo albums or like their collective album or whatever. And you sent me the playlist, which now you're going to have to link in the show notes for today so people
of
can
course,
go and
of
see
course.
Your Blackpink playlist. But what's been fun is that like Addison is so obsessed with K-pop Demon Hunter. And so
right.
Like, every single morning we get in the car and I'm like, Addie, what do you want to listen to on the way to preschool? And she's like, K-pop Demon Hunter. And I'm like, all right, I got it.
Yeah.
But lately I've been able to play your Blackpink playlist for her. And I think because like the sound, like, of course she's not listening to the lyrics and on, there's a part of me on some of them where I'm kind of like, maybe it's a good thing. She doesn't know what they're saying. You know,
they're very confident.
Yeah. I mean, they maybe earned some right for some confidence.
Yes.
But the point I'm trying to say is that like, it's very cool. Maybe even how well K-pop Demon Hunter nailed it, because I can turn on just like K-pop and Addison, not that she doesn't notice the difference, but she still likes it.
Oh,
you know,
excellent.
Yes, yes.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah. So, like, we listened to like APT, and like after the song went off, she's like, "So now we know the game."
So now you know the game.
Now you know the game.
That's a good like entry one right there, because that's like that's Rosie and Bruno Mars. You know, it's like bridging the gap a little bit.
That was one that was also really funny, because you brought it up in office and you were like, you've heard the song. Like, I know you didn't know it was her, but you've heard the song and you played it for me. And I was like, I have not heard this song before.
Okay. All right.
But since then, I probably listened to it 100 times.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Yeah, that's not a surprise. APT in particular is not just the biggest song any of them have done solo. It was also just, and it's not, it was not just the biggest K-pop song in the world last year. It was the biggest song in the world last year.
So there you
go. End of sentence. Yeah.
So like when you're like, you've heard it, it's like, well, if you haven't, you're the problem.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh man, it's so funny. Well, now I'm up to speed.
Now you're up to speed. Yeah. Now you know the game.
Now you know the game.
Exactly. So, yeah. So anyway, we drove with Luke past the house, and I was, it was really fun because I could, even as we're driving through the town, I'm like, okay, that used to be, that KFC, I remember when they built that, used to be a barbecue place. That has always been a bowling alley. That's the Catsy Center. And like, you're going around here and it's like, I wonder if the Hub is still there. And it's like, oh my God, it is.
I know the exact road that you were just driving down. I know all those landmarks and why all the barbecue spot used to be. And,
Yep. That's exactly it. When I'm like, oh, I used to get my hair cut there. And then I would ask Nana if I could, walk home, and she'd be like, okay, sure. And I would get to walk home, and I'd walk down this street, and then we turn left. And then, you're driving down, you make the turn onto the street, and it's like, it's so nostalgic. Because when you were a kid, there was just 10 years where that turn was and you're home.
Yes.
Yep. And it's it just feels the same. It was so surreal. And we drive down and we stop in front of the house. I'm like, that's the house I grew up in. It looks very different now. They painted a different color, but it's it looks so different, but also so the same,
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Still got a porch swing,
it's still got a porch swing.
It still looks and it was so funny too, because it was I was showing it to Alice, and I knew that it was white when we grew up and it's blue now.
Yeah.
And even that's one of those things where it was sort of was it blue when we left? And it was like,
No.
It couldn't have been. But then I was like my mind was playing tricks on me. It was do I even remember it correctly now? And to be fair, I was 11 when we moved. So it's we're talking about 25 years ago.
Right.
It's been a long time.
It's been a minute. Yeah. So it looks different and stuff, but you can still sort of I didn't go into the driveway or, go knock on the door or anything.
Sure.
But I'm just sort of looking down the sides and stuff, and I can still see the walnut tree back there, dropping its endless baseballs and ammunition and whatever.
Yeah, for the old Walnut Wars.
Right, which
was basically the game was throw effectively baseballs at each other, hope not to get hit, because if you do, it's like getting hit with a baseball.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was the game.
Yeah.
So now I know the game.
It comes back again.
It comes back.
Oh my gosh. Well, then I guess you also told Luke about the time that I got hit by a car.
Oh yeah. I was like, this right here, this is where Ben got hit by a car. And he had so many questions about that. He was just like, wait, why did that happen? Was he okay? What did Nana do? Was she mad at him? I was like, I don't really remember everything about it. I remember he got hit and he went flying. But and even Beth's like, did you go to the hospital? I was like, I don't think we went to the hospital. I think we just went right to soccer practice.
That is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We literally left that, the scene, which I guess it's been a little while since I've said this. So in case anybody's new listening, basically, I was playing at the across street neighbor's house, and mom had pulled out of the driveway and was parked on the opposing curb, from where we lived. And she had the window down. I was talking to her and she was like, you need to get in the car. We're going to Jay soccer practice. And I was like, nah, I think I'm just going to stay home. And she's like, Ben, get in the car. And I ran around the front of the car, and there was a car that had was pulling around mom at this point in time. So I ran out right in front of the van and get smacked right away by this truck.
Yep.
And I don't know if it was just the being 9 years old of it all or what, but I was a noodle just flying through the air.
Yep.
And I hit the pavement and I sort of slid. So I had a little bit of road rash, but amazingly was not more injured
right
by this. So sometimes I go back in my head and I'm maybe the guy wasn't going that fast, but just being so small, I literally
you can only be 90 pounds and hit by a 2-ton vehicle so much and go so far.
Exactly.
And not go so far.
Right. Yeah. So really, really weird situation. But then that afternoon I was over at your house because we were doing some garden work in your backyard, and Luke comes over and he started to ask me about it. And I was like, okay, I need to be very, very, very clear here.
Yeah.
Luke, I was at fault. Right. I was not behaving. I did not listen to Nana Mary when I should have been. It was it's one of these things where I need to be very clear that this is not it's not that bad.
Yeah. It was bad.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that, and I'm like, oh yeah, here's this fire. I feel like there was a fire hydrant they painted one day and they didn't put a sign on it. And I think you had an orange paint smear in your backpack.
I did.
Forever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I got the super reflective backpack that was made out of reflection material.
Yeah.
So if you shine a light on me at night, I glowed.
Dude, my current bike shoes are like that. Sometimes I'll just open the garage and I'll be like, what are, oh, it's my shoes. Yeah. They're crazy.
Blinded by the light.
Exactly. So yeah, I like showed them all the places, and like, yeah, we did go bike in that parking lot, and you know, sometimes we'd go, this is the post office or whatever. And then like after his game, we went to this barbecue place that I'd never been to before in Franklin County. And I gotta tell you, Ben, we've been to like Texas and St. Louis and stuff and been to barbecue places there. And I think this place was better.
I
couldn't believe it. You know?
This is something where it's like, I would say any listening person, you know, if you are within like a 2-hour radius of a place called the Back 40 in Franklin County, Virginia, then just based on the fact that I have heard Jay now tell every single person who we've encountered about it. I think we should all go.
We should just go.
We should just go. Yeah. It's like, I think
I feel like I'm hyping it up too much, but I remember I was eating the sandwich and I was like, oh my God. Like, I don't know.
It's that good.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, and we have gone some really tremendous places for some really tremendous barbecues. So yeah. High praise.
Okay. High praise. Yeah. Very tasty. But then like, we're like driving back. Luke is like, I want to walk through your old town with you. And I was just like, okay. I guess we have to do that now. You know, I guess I told him I would like walk around and stuff. So he wanted to go do that. And so we parked on the little main street there, and we went in a couple shops, and there were some like little vintage stores, and we walked around, and then he was like, no, I want to walk past your house. Like, I was like, oh, well, honestly, it's not that far, you know, because it really isn't.
I feel like this is in some way like any parent who brings their kids to a similar situation. Like, I think this is the hope, you know,
right?
But it's like when you don't have any attached sentimental value to something, it's like you can look at it, you can appreciate it for like what it is on the surface, but you don't have all of those deep memories. So it's so much harder, like unless you just, it's something that you particularly like resonate with.
Right.
Like when we were kids, I remember our dad taking us to this, like in his hometown, there was like this like slanted, I'm going to call it a waterfall, but it's more like a rock slide to go rock sliding. Basically, yeah. Like you would crawl over, you'd sit in the wave of water,
mm-hmm.
you could go down. And it was like nice. And I mean, it was like slippery from like the algae or whatever grew on it. But it was an easy like slide. And yeah. That was the kind of thing that dad could show us. And it's like, oh, this is really cool. But if you took us like his high school or something, it might be the kind of thing where it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, it is high school.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Harder to appreciate. But I feel like Luke was just like, I mean, he just got it.
It's he
like,
just got you know, it. Yeah.
Like, this is something we should share together.
Yeah. It was cool. So we, you know, we walked down like, you know, past Arrington Flowers and whatnot. And
it's still there.
It's still there.
Wow. Yeah. Yep,
still
that?
There. And, you know, walked down, walked back to the house. And, you know, we're walking down there and, you know, like they're forever. If we were like walking up the sidewalk, there were all these like cactuses growing on this wall, like up the side of it. And it was always like so annoying because you were like, oh, I just can't, not going to avoid the cactuses. And it's like, the cactuses were still there.
That was like the first thing, like you said, you like walked down the hill and I was like, were the cactuses still there? And you were like, they were.
They were still there. Yes. I couldn't believe it. And I'm like looking out over, you know, into like the fields behind the other people's houses. And I'm like, it felt like that was so far away. And it's just like right there, you know?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, we get back to it and we look at the house again. We took some pictures in front of it. And, you know, we made like a full little loop back to the car. And it was, I don't know, it was very special. It was like really, really surreal because like, you know, Luke is, you know, 8 years old now. And that was the age I was when we were living there and stuff. And it's like, I just have so many memories there. And it's like now we're making like very similar kinds of memories, just like at like a new house and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, will Luke be taking his kids to, you know, go see his old house someday? And it's like our current house or something, you know?
I know exactly what you mean too, because like, you know, we like at this point in time, like, yeah, like living at my house for 10 years or whatever, it's like there's that layer to it. But then it's also like I proposed to Alice in that house.
Right.
And like, you know, we brought Addie home to that house and we've now almost renovated every square foot of that house.
Right.
You know, like there's so many like weird things that have happened to where it's like, you know, it's another one. Like it reminds me of like the sign from Bluey or whatever, where
yeah.
It's like this idea of like leaving this place that holds so many memories. Like part of me is not sure, like it might take me like a long time until if I ever left my current home to where I would ever be comfortable going back,
mm-hmm.
You know, like it would, like, I feel like it would be like seeing like a significant other on a date with like a new person or something. Like
right.
That. It's like, it'd be like, I don't like that.
Right.
Like, I don't want, it's like, ah, why would they put the, like a weird flag in the garden? No.
Yeah. You know, what are you doing?
I can't think of what somebody could possibly do that would disappoint me, but like, you know, it's like, oh, they cut the bush.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like we'll drive past like Beth's grandma's house sometime. Like the people who own it now, that she's like passed away, like, you know, just like built this like really big fence around the backyard. And it's just like, oh, look at that fence. Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
It doesn't look as good. What are they doing? You know, yeah. Well, okay. You
know. I guess,
you know, I guess you've lived there for like a year or something. You know, her mom is her granddad like built the house himself. So
wait, should you know, probably could ask the family if it was okay.
Yeah,
to
probably
do
could have. You know, whatever.
Even though you own the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I feel like some permission was maybe needed. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really funny. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm really glad that you were able to go back to, you know, the old stomping grounds.
I know. Yeah. It was a really fun and special experience. I'll have to get Nick and Nate down there at some point, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the other thing, is that Nick had like t-ball practice, so him and Nate went to that like with Beth's parents, and so it was just me and Beth and Luke, you know, just doing it. So
kind of special too.
Yeah, kind of special too. So yeah, that was fun.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. 300 and some odd episodes into doing the pop, and I've started to realize something about Jay and I. Not as hosts, but as people. We frequently seek the need for permission to try something new, whether it's tattoos, growing a mustache, or finally starting that Name of the Wind podcast. And while it's funny to think that I didn't realize this before, I also get it, because starting something new is terrifying. Like, we should only do it on Halloween, so at least we can like be on brand for the occasion, right? And when it comes to launching a new business, like, forget it. But Shopify is the tool to take you from the daydream you tell your friends you're considering over drinks to actually doing the dang thing. And if you're trying to figure out how to get the word out, no problem. Shopify helps you find your customers with easy to run email and social media campaigns. Plus, if you get stuck, not to worry. Shopify is always around with 24/7 customer support. You don't need permission. You're more capable than you think. And even if you do find something you can't do, chances are Shopify can. It's time to turn those what ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/poppop. Again, that's shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
There you go.
But Ben, I see here on the notes as well that maybe you've been brushing your teeth wrong for your entire life.
Thank you so much for asking about this. Holy cow. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, this is like one of those things. Yeah. Have I been brushing my teeth wrong for my entire life? It's like a question that, like, I mean, it's like, I feel dumb is what is happening. And I feel like someone would be like, nah, I don't feel that way. It's like, dude, I've done this twice a day since I was like four.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, I feel dumb. I feel dumb.
How could I be doing it wrong?
How could I be doing it wrong? And I mean, I'm still curious to see like what will ultimately happen. But like, you know, I would say if I was going to be completely candid about it, like I am very good about brushing twice a day. No issues there whatsoever. Do I floss every day? No. I mean, simply put, probably not nearly frequently enough.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's a column that plenty of people who I've spoken to also seem to fall into.
I agree. I find that sometimes I'll get those dental picks, you know?
Yeah.
That have like, they're like little sticks with a piece of floss in them.
Yeah.
And I feel like ideal in my mind, I'm like, this will make me floss more. But then when I start using them, I find them really uncomfortable. And it's like, I actually, if I just use regular floss, that is like, I find that a lot better.
It works better for
you. It works better.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I have been stashing like the little picks everywhere in my life, and I'll continue to get to that. But, you know, so like I would say that that's like been the general scope of things. But then I've also had like, I wouldn't call like major anxiety, but I would say I have like anxiety about teeth. You know, like I have like the classic dream where like all of your teeth have like fallen out or something. And like, you know, it's just like one of those simple things that like, you know, worried me, even though I haven't really historically had like major issues or anything, you know, like a filling or something here and there. But I think that like now I'm going through my Invisalign treatment, which involved like, it's like, 'cause I'm back on the horse, and I'm like, you know, I didn't go to the dentist for like 8 years or something like that. Mm. It was because like came off of mom and dad's or something and like never figured out how to successfully call and get an appointment, or I don't know. There's not a good excuse for it. I just didn't go.
Right.
Which probably only made those dreams get more prominent, because every year that went by, I was like, man, I really need to go.
The guilt.
Yeah. It's like, I need to get this checked out. So anyway, you know, it's like back in the routine, definitely getting better with like all of my like rituals and hygiene and stuff like that. And then, you know, start the Invisalign treatment, which means that like every 6 weeks I have to go in for like a checkup, and they're just like making sure that like all the teeth are moving the way that they're supposed to and stuff. But that also means that I'm getting like lots and lots and lots of feedback on my dental hygiene. And so since going on the trays, like the little inserts that you take in and out for your Invisalign, it's like one of these things where like, if I drink a cup of coffee or whatever, I go and brush my teeth before I put the trays back in.
Right.
If I have lunch, I brush my teeth before I put the trays back in.
Right.
Dinner, same thing. So it's like, I went from brushing my teeth like twice a day to five times a day.
Right.
You know, it's like, and I mean, anybody in the office can fully attest to it, because like, we'll be standing around the island in the morning, I'll brush my teeth, we'll have lunch, I'll brush my teeth. Like,
yep, you guys have seen it.
You're right there to see it. And so I went to my appointment like a week or so ago, a week and a half ago. And I get in, and I, like, you know, they're going through and they're kind of like, you know, assessing everything, and they kind of give me like the talk. And I'm like, it's like almost like one of those things where it's like, we got to level with you about your hygiene here. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, I bet if you're a dentist or a dental hygienist, you're like, we get lied to all day, every day. People claim that they floss more than they do, or that they're,
right,
you know, doing mouthwash or brushing their teeth or blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this is like one of those things where they were like, you know, like, you really need to like work on this stuff. And I was like, what more could I do? I know,
I'm brushing five times a day.
Yes. And it's like, that is not an exaggeration. It is like, it is true.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, and so like, I'm like, oh my gosh. And so, you know, the guy, like the dentist, you know, he sits me down and he's like, here's like, you know, this is the routine you need to do. You need to floss, you need to do a rinse, and then you brush your teeth, don't rinse. And I was like, don't rinse after you brush your teeth? Like, you know, and this is like one of those things that goes back to like learning how to brush my teeth as a child. The idea was, you are not supposed to like swallow or consume any of the toothpaste. Like, I don't know what happens if you do, but I just feel like that was like the rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost as if you're putting like a cleaner in your mouth that is like good for cleaning teeth, but not meant to like be digested or
right.
something. And so historically I have brushed my teeth, and then I've cut my hands and taken like a big swish of water and like swished the water in my mouth and spit it back out again. And it was like, that is what I've done every single time I brushed my teeth my entire life.
Right.
And he's like, no, you don't rinse afterwards. And I was like, you don't rinse afterwards? Like, what about like all the stuff that's in your mouth? Like that,
right.
You know, he's like, no, think of it like this. It's like, if you got a cut, and you put Neosporin on it and then immediately wiped it off again, do you think the Neosporin would help? And I was like, well, that's a really good point when you put it like that, but I just never thought of it that way.
I mean, like, I feel like maybe, you know, like it probably would have killed some germs.
It would probably help more than none.
Right.
Which I think is probably what he's saying, is that like, you know, swishing is not like inherently like the absolute like worst. It's not like negating and brushing your teeth, because a huge part of brushing your teeth is like the bristles physically scrubbing debris from your teeth.
Right. But what he's like saying is like the fluoride staying on your teeth is really what's doing the long-term cleaning.
That does like a lot of like good beneficial stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so since then, it's been this like modification, which is like, it's like a weird one where I will like, you know, I'll like rinse off my toothbrush when I'm done. And then like, I have to like stop myself halfway to the faucet from like cupping my hands to like do the swish or whatever. And it's like, it's taking me like such mental control to like not do it.
It feels like you'd have so much toothpaste in your mouth.
That is exactly what I think is the case.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the only thing that helps me is that I put the trays back on, which makes me feel like it's like capped, you know, like in between like the plastic tray and my teeth, which makes it feel like a little bit better. But so I am on like a hyper aggressive regimen now, because it's not even like my own personal health. It is now like a game where I am like, listen, I am going to take care of my teeth and my gums so like in excess.
Right.
You know, like, mm-hmm. like, because at this point in time, if I show back up again and you tell me that my hygiene is insufficient, I will flip out.
Right.
You know,
right. Like bro. Okay.
It's going to be like,
it isn't even about my teeth anymore. It's me versus you.
It's
personal.
It's personal.
Yes.
You know? And like,
dude, you got to stick it to this guy.
That is the plan.
Oh yeah.
That is the plan. Mm-hmm. Cause he's got this like, he has this little cunning smile about him too. It's like, and I'm like, howdy.
How far are we going here? Are you doing like tongue stuff?
Oh, tongue.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, out of context.
Out of context. Are you doing like tongue cleanings?
I don't. I think somewhere I do own one of those like tongue scrapers. I would admit that that's something I think I saw like on TikTok mm-hmm. 5 years ago mm-hmm. when I bought one, and it was I kind of forgot about that. So maybe that's something I should do.
Yeah.
But my current regime is literally 5 times a day. So same exact cadence I was doing my teeth brushing before, like with meals and coffee and stuff like that. But every single time is floss, using like a mouthwash, like a real mouthwash to rinse, and then a teeth brush, spit, no rinse. And that is the regime. And it's like, it's for all the wrong reasons. Like, I should just be doing it because like, I just want to like better my own health.
I know. This is like the ultimate, like, it's like an unfortunate win-win for your dentist, where it's like, if you do a bad job, he gets to continue scolding you. And if you do a good job, he's like, good, like, great, I helped you.
And that's fine. I mean, like, if I'm being completely honest, it's not like he's being a jerk at me or anything like that. It's just like, I think I was just fundamentally blown away. Like, when I went into my most recent appointment and they like had to like, they gave me prescription toothpaste.
What?
Prescription toothpaste over this.
Wow.
I know. I mean, I was like, and that's the thing. And so Alice's sister, her older sister, has also done like Invisalign. So like throughout the process, I've messaged her a bunch of times, just like ask questions about like, hey, like, was this a problem for you? Or how did you handle this? Or, you know, like when you went to Disney, like, did you bring like a toothbrush with you and just like brush in the bathrooms and, you know, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
So she's been able to give me like lots of good insight and advice. And so I like sent her a picture of it and I was like, hey, did you ever like have to get like prescription toothpaste, like related to your Invisalign treatment? And she was like, can't say that I did. And I was like, oh no.
Prescription toothpaste. Man, you sound like you got some messed up teeth, bro. I'm sure that's how it makes you feel.
It is how it makes me feel. I'm like
remedial potions, you know?
Remedial potions.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, I just want to do a good job and that's it, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
Boy, howdy. I'm like, that's the thing. Yeah. Is that like, I'm partially like, listen, I know you guys give this advice. I know I could have flossed more the whole time. Like, absolutely get it. For the most part, if I come in for a 6-month appointment, like, I usually will like take that home. I'll incorporate it into my routine for, you know, 3 days or whatever. And then it kind of falls back to like whatever the old standby
right,
was.
Right.
And this time it's like, no, 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 nope, no. In 6 weeks, you will see me, and I'm going to have the reddest, healthiest gums you've ever seen.
Have you considered going like on an, I think there's a word, like an all white diet or whatever?
I am so unfamiliar with this.
This would be like wherein you just like don't consume things like coffee because it would stain your teeth.
Man. I don't think that is sustainable to me. That is like the structural equivalent of like getting your paycheck and paying only for your like expenses and having no money for recreation because all of it goes into like retirement.
Mm-hmm.
It's like which I'm not faulting any, I'm huge on retirement savings, but the thing is that like, it's like you have to live. You know,
right?
Like you have to live,
right?
That is a part.
You got to buy those Lisa tickets, you know.
You got to buy those Lisa tickets.
You got to go see Jay Leno, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, it's like, and so it, you know, if I were to go through and be like, oh, there's all these foods I enjoy, but I'm not going to have them, so I can have sparkling white teeth. It's like that. It feels like, you know, as much as I would not oppose having sparkling white teeth, that cost would be too great.
I think this is more a thing that like. If you're a professional model, maybe you need to take into consideration.
And I could see that.
Yeah.
Like I could see a world where like all of a sudden, you know, like if your physique or aesthetic or something is like part of your trade, like maybe it changes things. And it's sort of like, if you were a professional athlete, it's like you have to maintain a certain diet in order to continue being a professional athlete.
But right.
This, on the same rate, I would say like if you retired from being a professional athlete, I suspect you can live a life that's differently. If you retire from being a professional model, you could start to live a life that's different, you know?
Right.
So I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Here, let's look. I'm going to look something up. I wonder if there's like a best like vitamin supplement you could take for teeth.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see.
Like, you know, just, is there anything that's just like enamel, you know, in pill form?
Right. I don't know. It's vitamin D, which is essentially just for calcium absorption to strengthen enamel and jawbones, and vitamin K2, which directs calcium into teeth. Other critical nutrients include vitamin C for gum health, vitamin A for saliva production, and minerals like calcium, phosphorus, and magnesium for structural integrity. So there you go. Maybe you should like work in some, you know, like a multivitamin into your routine or something.
I was going to say, at this point in time, it seems like my breakfast is just going to be a handful of vitamin supplements. Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Just get some vitamins in there. I dare say, Ben, you could take it a step further. Just start going, go be like a chapstick person too, you know?
A chapstick person?
Yeah. Get the lips going, you know?
Oh.
Also more of your mouth.
I see you know? What you mean. So like try to just improve my entire mouth.
Your really. Entire mouth while
my,
you're at it.
My whole mouth situation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, in other news, just on the teeth up front or the teeth front, just my most recent update is that I'm on week or tray set 11. So week 22 of 36.
Oh man.
On my teeth realignment. So
man.
Starting to feel like my face looks different.
Over halfway. Wow, so straight and so clean. Oh, not so clean, I guess.
Yeah, don't give me...
Hold on.
Listen, do not give me credit where it is not deserved, Jay.
Ben, those teeth look hideous,
but straight. They get to take all the credit for the straightness. I get to take none of the credit for anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right, anyway. So let's see here.
Transition!
All right, Jay, I have a question for you because I think this is a really good one. And I have a feeling I know the example. You have a note here under strong opinions called the reverse onus, offering solutions to problems you caused, but making someone else choose the solution. One of those solutions is way more beneficial to them.
Yeah, let me give you the example here.
Okay.
So I've already... This isn't like a huge deal, but I feel like it just represents like a kind of transaction you might have in real life.
I do believe I read this and it took me like a moment and I was like, oh, this is what Jay's always talking about when I use too many words to describe something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, okay, think. And then once it like clicked into gear and I understood what you meant, I was like, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah,
like,
it's the reverse onus.
The reverse onus. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Lay it on us.
Okay. So the reverse onus is the situation I'm dealing with. So you may remember me telling you guys that I bought a basketball hoop for Nick and Nate for their birthday.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? Like a real, like, you know.
I speak for all the little kernels. We all remember.
We all remember, right? Yes. And we set it up in the backyard. It has remained there. They have played with it. It has been great. However, Since then, it has become spring, and that means that the grass has begun to grow again, and that means the guy who cuts my lawn has been coming back, and they've been doing a great job mowing the lawn, and thank you for that. But on one such pass over the lawn, a blade went askew and clipped the back of my basketball hoop, which means the plastic was cut and the water that keeps it weighted down all leaked out and just big hole.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a problem.
Because, like, I mean, a basketball hoop, when it really comes down to it, it's like the hoop is vitally important. The backboard, vitally important. Mm-hmm. That is the game itself.
Yeah.
Now you know the game. However, the, like, mounting mechanism for this is the other most important thing. And the mounting mechanism only works if the base is heavy.
Yeah, if the base is heavy. So all the water leaked out. And sure enough, next morning, wind blew it right over. No problem.
Right. You know? Yeah. So now is your rim bent?
Well, I don't know. It landed on, like, you know, grass. It wasn't like landing on, like, the pavement like ours did all the time. Yeah.
We had our nice, like, oval shaped rim.
Yeah. Yeah. It was more forgiving on the sides, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't think if it is, I'm going to be upset too. But, so I get a call from our lawn guy and he's like, hey, just wanted to let you know, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but like we clipped the back of your, you know, basketball hoop and like all the water leaked out. And I was like, I just wanted to like try and, you know, make it right with you. And I was like, oh, awesome. Thank you so much for telling me, you know, and I'm like, oh, what a, you know, thanks for trying to make it right. And he's like, so I had a couple ideas. Either I've got like a couple bags of sand. We could just like put some bags of sand on the back of it and, you know, that'll weigh it down. They're like 50-pound bags. Or I could just like buy a whole new hoop for you if you want. And in my mind, I'm like, well, it's like brand new, you know?
It's like it is literally 2 months old.
Right. It is like 2 months old. And it's like, I don't want it. If you put bags of sand just on the top, it's like, yeah, that'll work. Obviously, it'll be heavy enough to it. But then, like, anytime it rains, they're going to be, like, gross and just, like, wet plastic heavy things back there. Not going to look nice. The hoop is sitting, like, in the middle of my yard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like that. It's just, like, that's going to look terrible. And it's like, brand new. I don't want it to look terrible. I don't want to be dealing with bags of sand sitting on the back of it, and eventually the sand will, you know, the bags of sand are going to rip, you know, then sand's just going to be in my yard all the time forever.
Yeah. And it's like, I know exactly what you mean. It's like, I can like even picture it, even though I don't know like when this would have happened in my own life, but it's like, I can picture the torn bags of sand and it's like that little pile, you know, it's like, it never goes away.
Yeah. Never goes away. And it's like, I don't want that. On the other hand, it's like, what you're offering is, you know, bags of sand. But then the other thing is replace the entire hoop. And it's like, yeah, that's really what I want. You know, I want that. But the two solutions you've offered me that you're willing to do is one of them is like an $8 solution and one's like a $200 solution.
Right.
You know, and you're like, yeah, whichever one you want me to do, I'll do it. And it's like, you have put the onus on me to decide which of these decisions you're going to do. And even though you're the one who broke my basketball hoop, I'm going to look like a real jerk if I say, can you replace it because there's a small hole in the back?
Yes.
When it's like, yeah, because now what you're saying is like, yeah, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to spend like $8 or do you want me to spend like $200? And it's like, what I want is for you to have not broken my basketball hoop in the first place, but obviously that's not where we are.
Yes. Yeah. And it really is tricky too, because it's like, given the fact that he gave you options, it almost even feels like the frustration shift. It's almost like you could take the ball of frustration that you have, like almost like rightfully earned or something. That feels like the wrong way to describe it. But like, it almost feels like if you choose new basketball hoop, you get to throw it to him and he gets to be frustrated at you for not going for the bag of sand.
Right? Exactly. Then I feel like I will feel like if I choose basketball hoop, it'll be like, now you're just going to have like, you're going to be like mad at me forever. Even though this is your fault.
It's like now every time you show up, it's like, I'm going to like try to like not make eye contact with you. Cause it's like, oh gosh, I mean, I've spent like $200 and it's
right.
Like
exactly.
It's 3 like, yard mows just to even start to get that back. And
I know. I'm like, I was super dwelling on this and I was like, this is so annoying. Cause like I 100% don't want the bags of sand. You know?
Right.
Here's the other thing. Not only would I want the basketball hoop, but I would want him to assemble it because it took like, it was not easy to assemble. It's a bunch of like heavy things and propping stuff up. And it was like a total nightmare. It took me like over half a day to do, which I did not expect.
And didn't like one of the twins also drop one of the screws?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yes, that's right. Container. Someone dropped it in there. I had to like finagle it out. It was a whole process. Ugh. So I'm like, yeah, so ultimately what I settled on, what my solution was I'm just going to try and fix it.
Okay.
Right. And at first I'm like, I don't know how I'm possibly going to do that. But of all things, I was like, you know what might work on this? Flex Seal.
Which is why today's episode is brought to you by, I'm just kidding. It's not.
But yes, Flex Seal, like from the infomercials, they're like, we made a boat out of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. We took a screen, we put it all over it. Now we're standing out here in the middle of the lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys. Billy Mays.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds
right. Both of them sounded right when you said them, but Mays seemed more right after you clarified.
Okay, yeah. So I went to the hardware store. I got my Flex Seal tape, and I got the Flex Seal spray.
Nice.
And yeah, put the tape on, and I'm like, man, I can see why this would work. Like, looks pretty solid, but just to cover up the hole with that, because it wasn't even like a huge hole. That's the other thing. It's like, do I want to make someone spend $200 to fix this small hole?
Right. Like, it's an otherwise completely functional basketball hoop, minus the fact that it could fall over at any time, which, given the fact that you have three boys who are only going to get taller and jump higher, is going to be a problem.
It's going to be a problem. So it's like, that is a thing that needs to be addressed. But I put that on there, and then, I got to bust out the Flex Seal spray. And I got to tell you, this is one of the most satisfying products I've ever used in my entire life.
You thinking about poking a hole on the other side just so you can
just so going? I can do it again. I know. I sprayed it on. I was like, oh my God, this is going to work so well. Like, I was just like, is that enough? I don't think it's enough. Let me do another coat. One more.
For safety. For safety.
Just for safety.
We bought the whole can.
Exactly. I got it. So I haven't gone back and like tested the water tightness of it yet, but I'm pretty positive it's going to work. And then I'm really going to feel great because I'm going to be like, you know what? I just solved it myself. And if you could just deduct the cost of the Flex Seal and the Flex Tape from the next invoice, we'll be square.
That actually seems like an incredibly fair middle ground. Cause yeah. I suspect you're dealing with a circa $25-$30.
Yeah. Expense. It's like $30 then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that seems like a really fair way to do it, but I do understand exactly what you mean because this can happen or like, I feel like there's even, a layer to it that may be like more common than your specific scenario, which is like somebody asking, how can I make this right? You know? And it's sort of like, it's like, you're telling me that like, it's not like an unreasonable request. Like
right.
Somebody saying, how can I make this right? Is like basically saying like, the door is open, you know, like I'm here to help.
Right.
But at the same rate, I sometimes feel like it does then create this like barometer of what kind of request is too much or too little to like solve your problem, too much in terms of them solving it for you, and like what is the appropriate amount. Or sometimes it takes like a creative solution. You know, it's like, don't give me the job necessarily of trying to figure out like how to modify.
Right.
And I mean, there's layers to that. Good communication is everything. Sometimes if you don't tell people what you want, they don't know how to give it to you because you never told them, and that's right. Its own problem. But I feel like in everyday life, this is like a very commonplace example of where this could come up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that another area this comes up sometimes is like, I feel like gift giving sometimes.
Okay.
Like if you're like, oh yeah, I wanted to, like if I was like, oh, I wanted to get like Alice, you know, or for her birthday, Ben, what should I get her? You know, it's like,
oh yeah.
It's like now you have to come up with a gift that I have to go buy her. You know,
right?
Like,
yes.
But you have to come up with it,
right?
And it's like you at that point, it's just you're just buying a gift, and I'm just giving you the money, more or less. You know, like you're picking something out, and I'm just giving you the money to buy it. Effectively,
you're not wrong. I do see exactly what you mean. Where it's like a huge part of the point of a gift is like the thoughtfulness.
Exactly.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, like I know you well enough to know what an appropriate thing to get you is,
right?
Or
right.
Like we have an inside joke together, or like this is something we both like, and so like this is a symbol of our friendship or whatever. You know, it's like there's so many layers to a gift that makes the gift worth having given.
Exactly.
More than just the superficial nature of getting like a nice thing.
Right. It's like, because Like what I want more than anything from a gift from somebody is the validation that they knew me well enough to get me that object.
There you go.
You know,
yes.
More than the object itself, that validation is worth so much more to me.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes, it's where a thoughtful gift far outweighs like a expensive gift.
Right.
Yeah, it really makes a big difference there. Okay. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So I think. You know, I love your middle ground solution though. I think that's really perfect. It doesn't seem unreasonable at all. And the other example I was going to give for what he could have said that would have made it seem more acceptable is like, you know, if he was like, I also have a son who would love a basketball hoop. I could take that one and give you a new one, you know, and I'll fix the other one. You know, that way you can go back to having a new one.
Right.
Like, I feel like that would have made me feel like a lot more comfortable. Like, you take the other one, you know, and then like, you know, I'll take the other one basically. And then I get to go home and I'll use the one that broke.
Right.
You know, and it's like, or I'll put the sandbags on it.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. If you use the sandbags for your own solution. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That could be okay.
Exactly. If you're okay with it, then you know, that's fine with me.
Okay. So here's my last little one before we close out. For
okay. Today, all right.
Because I know that we're kind of getting close to time. This is a conversation starter that I think is a great icebreaker for literally any time you sit down with friends ever.
Oh, okay. Okay. And, okay. I feel like I need these.
Yeah, I know. Right. I mean, and yeah. It's like, I think the idea is just that it's just meant to be fun. Like it's not meant to be good advice. It's meant to be fun advice.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So the first bit of advice, let me try again. The first bit of advice to an alien visiting Earth for the first time is... blank.
Right. So you sit down with your friends and you're like, all right, guys, if aliens came to Earth, what's the first bit of advice you would give them about living here?
Don't read the comments.
Right. Oh, don't. That's what you would say to them.
Don't read the
comments.
Yeah. Don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments. Listen. It's not going to take long. You're going to fall for it. Okay. You're going to have a Facebook soon.
Right.
Don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments. Yeah.
Don't read the comments. So,
and it's, I feel like, especially for me, given like my job, it's like, or our job for that matter. It's like, I feel like it's very like specific to me, but like, I think the idea here is it speaks to like values that like any individual might have because of what they might pick.
Right.
You know, as their yeah. version.
What is your version of the first bit of advice you need for living on Earth?
Yes. Yeah. For, yeah. Like, you know, the alien lands and, you know, right away you're like, you know what? Don't worry. Everyone else is just pretending to, they don't know what they're doing either.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Like,
yeah.
You know, that could be a good one. You know,
that is good. Yeah. Don't worry. No one really knows. No, just fake it till you make it, you know?
Right. Right.
Fake it till you make it.
There's nothing more human.
Right.
Than faking it till you make it.
Right. Yes. Like, I feel like there's like a sports answer to this. Is like, let me give you one piece of advice. Anyone rooting for the Virginia Cavaliers, you can't trust them.
Yeah. See, but I think that's a great
right.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I know so much about you all of a sudden. It's like,
yeah.
You like sports. You don't like the UVA.
Right. You probably went to Tech.
You probably yeah. went to Tech. Yeah. Yeah. Here's my other one is never ask what's in a hot dog.
Yeah. Right. 100% real beef. Yeah. Yeah.
If you say so.
Okay. Yeah.
What
yeah.
part of the beef?
What part of the beef? Right. The hooves. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's better just not ask.
Yeah. Don't ask.
Anyway, I'm gonna go have a hot dog now. But also, that's probably gonna do it for today's episode of The Pomp. Thank you guys so much, as always, for tuning into this week's episode. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Not to worry, those are not comments; they are emails, and I do read them. Otherwise, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.